Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
All right, so as you're listening to Dennis there, are you picturing somebody you know or are you picturing yourself? There's, you know, Dennis sort of typifies our culture and the very age which we live in, where nobody seems to want to be committed to anything, no matter what it is, whether it's a job, a marriage, a church, anything. You know, businesses that used to require commitments have now backed off of that because they were afraid to lose customers. Things like your cable companies used to require a two-year commitment. Now it's like, hey, just we don't want to lose you. Just month to month, whatever you can do. Just, you know, stay as long as you want. Leave whenever you want. You know, we don't want to force you into anything. Gyms, month to month if you want to do that. Cell phone companies are all now month to month. Even not only are they month to month, I don't even have to buy the phone anymore. I'm just renting my phone right now. I don't buy it. I just rent it. So, because, you know, I don't know if I want to commit to this, you know, for 2 years. Because what if the next year's is better? I don't know. I don't really want to buy this. So I'm just going to rent. And then that later on, if I find something better, then I can just ditch that one and rent something else. Because if I bought it, you know, that's a little bit too much commitment for me right now. So I'm just renting. This is a true story. I'm actually just renting my phone. They call it a lease, but really it's the same sort of thing. We love renting. Renting is skyrocketing. All the things you can rent now. You know, you can rent a wedding ring now. You just lease it, which, you know, it's kind of fun. I think, you know, if you did that, you get an argument. It's like, listen, one more word out of you, I'm not making payments this month. If they repo it, that's not on me. That's on you, right? Or you can flip it around and say, well, you better get a job. If you don't get a job, guess what's going bye-bye, right? I mean, you can rent wedding rings. You can rent campers. You can rent purses, ladies. No need to buy the designer purse. You can just rent one and walk around with a $900 bag, if you'd like, for a month or so. So everybody thinks that you bought it. Let's face it, you're only going to use it for a month anyway. So you can just rent it for a month, and then you return it. As long as you don't scratch it up, sounds like a good idea. You can rent dogs. You want a dog? You can rent a dog. Some of you are thinking, I've got a dog you can rent. As a matter of fact, I'm going on vacation next week, and you can rent my dog. I'll pay you. You can rent a casket. Just saying, usually those are kind of permanent, but, you know, I don't know. You can rent all kinds of stuff. You know, we love the renter mentality. It's so much better than owning, because with owning, you know, you have to take care of things, maintain it. When you're renting something, let's face it, when you're done with it, here's your dog back, right? You know, I don't really want it anymore. You can have it back. Here's your purse back. Here's your camper back. You can just take it back. Even in relationships now, we've taken this same sort of rent-to-own mentality into relationships. Most couples nowadays are living together before they get married because, you know, we just want to try it out. We want to see if this is going to work out, be compatible or not before we really, you don't really want me to commit to something like this, you know. We'll just merge our bank accounts, merge our houses, merge everything about our life, but I don't want to commit. I'm like, who are you kidding here? You are so pot committed, it's not even funny. The state of Virginia says, you might want to have a legal contract if you're going to intertwine these things that much. No, I don't want to do that whole marriage commitment thing. That's scary. Whatever. You know, and then, of course, when it comes to Sundays, when Sundays roll around, we take the exact same mentality, and we church hop, we church shop, and we bounce around from place to place, and we'll go to a church for a while, and then as soon as that pastor upsets us or frustrates us or the people there aren't nice to us or whatever it may be, we just move on and go to the next one, or somebody else has a better Christmas play, we go there. And so we just kind of jump around because, you know, after all, what's the point of having any kind of commitment? And, you know, the whole philosophy behind a non-committal ideas, I don't want to be trapped, you know, like Dennis. I don't want to, if I tell you I'm going to be there at 8 o'clock on Friday night, what if something better comes up? You know, I don't want to be committed to you and have something better come up and then have this sort of dilemma thing here. So I'd just rather, you know, we'll wait and see. We'll see how things work out. You know, if around 7:45-ish I have nothing to do and no better offers, you're going to see me there, right? And next Sunday, you know, really, if it's a good day out, if it's not raining, but it's also, you know, if it's raining, I don't want to come. But if it's a beautiful beach day, I don't want to come either. Give me one of those, like, overcast days where there's really nothing else going on. There's nothing on TV. You're going to see me here every Sunday. That's kind of my deal. I'm here because I just want to make sure you know. And, you know, I'm also kind of wondering what's in it for me. You know, if I buy into this, what's in it for me? If I commit to this marriage, what's in it for me? If I commit to this phone, what's in it for me? If I commit to this church, really, you got to tell me what is in it for me. And before you think this is all a millennial thing, all you Xers, we're no better, right? And you boomers, you ain't any better either. I don't care what generation you're from, this is an issue. As a matter of fact, we'll go over to Luke chapter 9, and you're going to see that even Jesus, back 2,000 years ago, dealt with this stuff. This is nothing new, this whole commitment phobia stuff. It's nothing new. It goes way back in time. If you go to Luke chapter 9, you've got a situation where three people come up, and they're considering following after Jesus. And so he has a conversation with them. And it's funny, as you read this, because we're so commitment phobic, Jesus comes across as this meanie, like, ugh. How dare he ask that of me? Like, you'll read this, and you'll read some of the stuff he says, and your initial response is, Jesus, that's very un-Jesus of you. We would say, that just sounds so un-Christian. But really, when you're saying to Jesus, it's like, Jesus, it's just not like you to say something like that. He's, well, I don't know what you mean by that, because this is me, and I'm saying it. Maybe you don't really know who I am if you think that. And so he says in there, it says, as they were walking down the road, this is Luke chapter 9, verse 57, it says, as they were walking down the road, this man comes up to him and says, hey, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replies, great, come on. No, he doesn't say that. He says, you know, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Okay. Kind of cryptic. I don't really know what that means, but I was thinking I could tag along if that's all right. Well, to understand this guy's offer, and to understand Jesus' response, you kind of have to see the context that's going on here. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus has healed a boy miraculously, and he's fed 5,000 instantaneously. Okay, that's just happened. So when this guy walks up, I mean, this is like one of the, you know, he just basically is looking to be a groupie alongside for the band. They go, hey, you're a rock star right now, and I just want to see what happens next. I'll follow you wherever you go. I mean, and when you talk about the health and wealth gospel, this is where it began right here. I mean, health, you just healed a boy. Wealth, you can feed 5,000 in an instant. I mean, who needs to work if you got that? I mean, it's all taken care of right here. Health and wealth is right here for the taking. I'll follow you wherever you go. I mean, you can get a gold watch and a private plane, whatever you want to do. I'll be right there with the whole for the whole show. And he looks at him. He says, you know, I realize that you want to go wherever I'm going because you think that this is going to be kind of like a rock star thing and there's going to be magic shows going on every day, but it's not like that. That's really not how this whole thing is going to play out. Now, he's already told his disciples just a couple of verses earlier, back in verse 21 through 27, he's told his disciples, I'm going to go die. I'm going to go give my life for the church. I'm going to go give my life for humanity. And when you read where Jesus is on the way to go do that. It says that back in, I think, where is this? Let me go down here and see. In verse 51, it says, Jesus knew that his time to give his life was nearing, and so he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. It says when he resolutely, he is on his way to Jerusalem, and he's only got one purpose for going there. He is going there so he can sacrifice himself for the sins of the world on Passover. That's what he's going there for, and he's on his way to go do that. So picture, you're on your way to go sacrifice your life, and this guy shows up and he goes, health, wealth, prosperity, you got it all. I want to be in. I'll follow you wherever you go. He's like, I don't really think you understand what you're saying here. That's not the road I'm on. I'm not on a rock tour. I'm not on a, you know, David Blaney, who's the magician? You know, this isn't like a magic show, road show kind of thing. This is all about sacrifice and commitment, and that's really not what I'm looking for that you're offering here. And basically, it lets him know, if you think following me is all health and wealth, that's not what it's about. This is not going to be a life of comfort and security. You're not just going to be a spectator sitting in a seat watching this show every night. This is going to get tough. To follow me means commitment, and commitment means sacrifice. Commitment means sacrifice. It was Jesus' answer here is one of the reasons why when it came to the question, when we were starting Essential, somebody asked about, well, how does somebody join Essential? And I have an issue with the traditional form of what most people think of when they think of church membership. And it goes back to my first church experience. I came in as a pastor, and I quickly realized what church membership was all about. Church membership meant that you had voting rights. People who hadn't even been to church in 20 years could send in a voting absentee ballot. People who lived far, far away would send in an absentee ballot. People who had passed away were sending in absentee ballots just so they could control what was going on in the church. It was ridiculous. And people would walk in and say, I've got 14 proxies. I'm like, who are these people? I mean, we haven't had that many people in a business meeting since I've been here. And so, you know, if you were a member, that meant you had voting privileges. It meant who was in and who was out, who was a part of the club, who wasn't part of the club, who would get helped in a time of need and who wouldn't get helped in time of need. It was sort of a clear delineation. It's who could use the church for weddings and who couldn't use the church for weddings. Like, I'd have people call up and say, yeah, I'm a member there. I'm like, who are you again? I haven't seen you. Well, our family's been members there and we're going to have a wedding. And we're members, so we can have it there. And I'd go ask them, but yes, they're members. I'm like, well, okay, whatever. So membership was all about privileges. You didn't have to show up. You didn't have to be a part of the place. You just like, it was like this ID card you had somewhere that just gave you all these, you know, rights and privileges. And it didn't make any sense to me whatsoever because I don't really think that's what Jesus was thinking about when he set out to build the church. He says, I will build the church. This is my thing. I'm going to build this thing. I'm going to build it based on the sacrifice I'm going to give there at the cross. That's what this church is going to be built on. When people show up and they say, hey, I want a membership just so I can have all the privileges. I want to be a part of the inner circle. I want to have, you know, private access to the rabbi who can do all this stuff. I will follow you wherever you go. He's like, I don't got time for that. That's not what this is all about, which is why from day one, you know, we've simply said, if you want to be a part of the church, that's great. Jesus wants you to be an essential part of what God's doing in the world to redeem all of humanity, and he's doing that primarily through the local church. He does it here both, you know, at home and around the world. All happens and starts right here with the local church. And if you want to be a part of that, there's a commitment that's required there. And so often we just want to say, well, I attend. That's what this guy, he's like, I just want to attend. I just want to be there. I want to be around. And he's like, that's not really what it means to be a part of this movement that I'm establishing and starting. Now, on the front end, let me just say, if you're not a Christian, that's all I'm asking at this point. If you're not a Christian, just attend. Just be here. You need to, your commitment level at this point is to simply attend because you need to be here to hear more about Jesus. You need to learn more about him. You need to learn more about God's word. And you can't do that sitting at home every week. You can't do that once in a while, off and on. The story I hear over and over and over again from somebody who's sort of on that periphery out there, and then they'll disappear for a while, and I'll, you know, see him at Home Depot or something like that. Hey, how you been? Oh, yeah, and they just kind of say, well, this, and then you realize their life's not in a good place right now. And you drift pretty quick when you get outside of this environment, and you need to be here. And so your commitment this morning is simply just to be here. For some of you, you've been here long enough, and you know you need to give your life over to Christ, you just haven't done it. And your commitment level this morning is simply to take that step and say, Jesus, I need to give you my life. I need to jump in with both feet. Enough of this whole playing the fence thing so I can still, with all my sin and justify all that stuff, I'm not fully a believer yet and just, you know, keep myself being a hypocrite, blah, blah, blah. No. You need to jump in with both feet and do it. One of the first guys I had the opportunity to pray with when he accepted Jesus Christ, he was sitting here and he was about to go out on deployment. And he said, can I just wait till after deployment to do this? And I said, why? He goes, because I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to go back to the ship and have to be a Christian. I just want to go for the next 6 months, do my thing, and then come back, and then I'll do it. And we talked this whole thing out, and eventually he's like, I mean, how do you look at Jesus and go, you know, Jesus, you know, I know you died for my sins, and you gave your life and all, but you know, I don't really want to have to give up the, you know, stuff that happens on a cruise like this, so can I just go be an idiot for 6 months and then come back and do the Jesus thing? What would he say? Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests. Son of man has no place to lay his head. You know, what do you come crying to me for? You're not going to get any sympathy here from me. Either you're in or you're out, bottom line. For others of you, maybe you've been coming and you've been attending for quite a while. The reason why we say that, you know, you don't join the church, you join either a small group or a service team. Because there's no point in joining something that has no meaning whatsoever. You either need to learn more about Christ, that's what a small groups do, or you need to practice becoming more like Christ. That's what a service team does, because Jesus was a servant over, through, and through, and through. And so I'll throw two things out there. For you who are commitment phobes, we got you covered. There are semester-based small groups that you can join in starting up in the fall, and they only meet, you know, 4 weeks, because I know I don't want to ask you for anything more than that. I know your schedule, you got to go check with Jimmy, make sure everything works out, because you got some stuff going on, I know. Some are 4 weeks. Some of them are crazy. They get up to 6 or dude, financial peace is 9 weeks. I don't know. I know that's a lot for you, but you know, if you could just do 9 weeks, your finances may just have a prayer of a chance of getting close to being in order just this coming semester. If you could just commit for 9 weeks, you know, for those. For you commitment folks, we got service opportunities for you. You know, they're very low-hanging fruit. They're easy things. You know, you don't have to be there every single week for it. We do need to know when you're coming or not. That would at least be helpful. At the very least, honor others around you enough to say, hey, I can't make it this week. You know, some of them are, you know, once a month rotation. That's okay. You can do that. August 27th, we'll be having what's called a serve event. And you can go up and say, hey, I'm a commitment phobe. Do you have something that's kind of, you know, bottom fruit, sort of barely Jesus right now? You can ask and they'll help you out. There's also things called life groups. And that's where people, this is crazy. I remember somebody said to me, I'm just not ready for Jesus 2.0 yet, you know, where you come to church, you get into it, and then you do the small group thing every week. That's just like 2.0. I'm like barely here. So if you're ready for Jesus 2.0, according to this guy's definition, you do what's called a life group, and that's where you don't just meet for a semester. You meet like, I don't want to say like for perpetuity or long term, but we'll give it a year for you right now. I know that's pushing the limits of what you can handle in your commitment blown mind. That they'll meet for at least up to a year or more even. I don't know. It's a little crazy, but you know, it's called doing life together, and you get to know people on a deeper, intimate level who can track with you and be there with you, and you will serve together with these people, and you'll do service projects together with them, and you'll help each other out when each other moves or moves away or whatever it is. You literally do life together. When somebody goes in the hospital, that's who you're going to see there, because you've got these people who've been tracking with you, and it's all about this commitment that you've made to one another in the context of this group. And there'll be opportunities to sign up for those this fall. If you want to go crazy 2.0-ish, you know, you can do that. So anyways, this guy's like, you know, and we don't know whatever happened to him. That's it. That's the last you ever hear of this guy. I will follow you wherever you go. It's not really what you think. Okay. All right, well, good luck. I just always picture Monty Python's moment there. You know, it's like, oh, well, best of wishes on to you in Jerusalem. Have a good day. And just, you never hear from the guy ever again. So another guy shows up. And Jesus approaches this guy. Now, remember, like last week, we looked at, you know, Jesus approached Matthew, and he says, come follow me. And Matthew's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to bring all my friends with me. That was Matthew last week. Here's this guy. Jesus gives the exact same call to this guy. Remember like when he calls Peter and them, and he says, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. They leave their nets, drop everything, and they go. That's what the guys did. That's what the guys whose names you know, that's what they did. Here's this guy. He's given the exact same call. This guy could be like the 13th apostle. Sounds like this title of a movie, doesn't it? He could be the 13th apostle here, right? He is given the same call all the other guys were given. Come follow me. Verse 59. But the man replied, oh, let me first go bury my father. And Jesus said to him, hey, let the dead bury the dead. You go proclaim the kingdom of God. That's very unchristian of you, Jesus. I mean, you know, this man's in a difficult, sensitive time right now, and that's what you're going to say? Really? Isn't that what you're thinking? Come on. You've read that verse and thought, I don't know about that. Okay, well, let me give you some background here. His dad's not dead. Okay, his dad's not dead. This is a cultural thing. What he's basically saying is this. If I drop my nets, if I basically leave everything right now and follow after you and don't continue to hang around and provide and care for my father, when he dies, I'm going to get cut out of the family will. So, you know, he's getting up there in years. He's not looking so good. And I'm thinking, you know, any day now he could kick the bucket and I got a lot coming to me. So listen, I'm all for following you. That's a great idea. I want to do it. I want to be a part of this thing. But you just got to give me a little while here. It's not a good time for me right now. It's not a good time. As soon as dad goes, I'll get the money. Think how much better it'll be. Think about all the great things I could do for you, Jesus, at that point. You know, I could, you know, invest in what you're doing here. This would be great. I could be a, you know, silent partner, whatever. You know, I'm just let me go deal with the family stuff. And then it'll be good for you. In other words, he's saying, this isn't a good time for me. You know, can you come back later? You know, the whole serving thing, it's not really a good time right now. I'm kind of busy. Oh, because, you know, usually when you're called to sacrifice, it's usually a good time. And it doesn't cost you much, and it's really easy. That's pretty much the nature of most sacrifices, right? Right? No, there's never a good time for a sacrifice, is there? There's never a good time. There's never a time when you're, is there ever going to be a day when you're like, you know, I am so financially secure right now. I could do anything. I've got, it really, I got extra money. I got extra time. Is there ever going to be a time where your life slows down so much? I mean, you know, the kids are on autopilot. They don't demand much of you. They don't need much of you. You know, as a matter of fact, they'll accompany you to wherever you go and just hang out there quietly and just, Dad, I want to learn what you're doing. I want to watch, observe. I'm going to invest in you right now. Is that ever going to happen? No. There will never be a good time. But yet in our minds, there's this utopian date. Sometime in late 2018, it's usually about a year off. In 2018 is about some remote time. And when we hit that time, man, that's going to be good. I'll be on it when I get to that point. See, I've been dealing with this for the past year. Y'all know I've been building a house. And every once in a while, somebody will be like, hey, I got this thing going on. I know you're busy with your house. And I've had this thing where I was like, no, I'm not going to pass up the opportunity to help and serve you right now because I am always going to be working on this house. And if I have in my mind, oh, when this thing is done, then I'll come help you, I ain't ever going to show up. I'm just not. And so I'm like, don't worry about the house. House will take care of itself. Let's just go do this and, you know, we'll get back to it. It's not a big deal. And this guy looks at Jesus and he's like, you know, let me just, you know, wait a little while. It's not a good time. And Jesus basically says to him, listen, if you want to run the rat race, go run the rat race. If you want to live for eternity, come follow me. It's up to you. If you want to go back and be with your dad and wait till he dies and get the inheritance and, you know, worry about he who dies with the most toys wins, that's your philosophy on life, by all means, go chase it. Give your life to whatever it is that's just so busy you don't have time for Jesus right now. If you want to live for what's of eternal value, something that you can't lose 1,000 years from now, something you'll look back and say, I am so glad I did that, then come follow me. It's up to you. But as you well know, there's not a 13th apostle, is there? This guy said, you're saying that now, but trust me, I'll catch up with you later. There wasn't going to be a later. Jesus is on his way to the cross. He's only got a few months to live. Your dad is going to outlive Jesus, is what he's trying to get across to this guy. Your dad's going to outlive me. It's going to be too late by the time you think you got time. And if you keep putting off getting involved in a small group, and you keep putting off getting involved in a servant team, you keep putting off giving your life over to Christ and committing fully to him, you're never going to find that good time. So then the third guy, he says, still another says, you know, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me just go back and tell my family goodbye. Sounds reasonable enough, right? My parents, you know, what are my parents going to think? They're going to think I got drug away with a circus or something like that. You know, they at least need to say goodbye. That's only courteous, right? Jesus says, send him a text. Let's go. No, he says this. He says, nobody who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Again, very un-Jesus-like of you, Jesus. You're not even going to let the guy go back and tell his parents that he's leaving? Well, what's he doing? He's saying, I want to go. I just got to make sure it's okay with mom first. I mean, this is Dennis if there ever was a Dennis. I'm not picking on you, Dennis. I'm saying this, the movie Dennis, right? Okay, this is Dennis. Yeah, I'm in. Sounds great. Let me just call Jimmy first. Now, Jesus is sitting there on the couch begging him, come, invest, do, go. This is what's going to be worth it. And you got to call Jimmy. Who's Jimmy? Well, let me just go ask my mom first, right? Let me just go see if there's anything else going on and make sure nothing else is coming up. You know, I've got this thing. I've got it going on. I've got this thing. I'm not really sure what time it is, but I'll be there, Jesus. Don't you worry about it. Just, hey, yes, I'm in, sort of. Okay, I'm on there, kind of. Jesus, I'm going to follow you, but first. And it's always an excuse. There's always something up. And in his mind, he thinks he's committed, doesn't he? He thinks he's committed. But Jesus sees right through. He says, you ain't committed. You ain't committed. You're the one who, you know, he basically is saying, listen, you know, he who puts his, you know, hand to the till but looks back is not fit, okay? It's the idea you can't plow a straight line and look back. I worked on a sod farm for a little while, and I'll tell you, it ain't easy plowing a straight line, even with a tractor. I can't imagine doing it with some live animals, but I'm just telling you, I wasn't good at the tractor. I was more the sod buster, not the tractor driver. And it stinks because the tractor driver is the easy job, isn't it? I mean, you just sit there and all you do is drive while the guys in the back work. Sorry, I didn't have the brains for a tractor driving. But the point here is this half commitment. Here's what it looks like in reality. Oh, you know, after that message you preached that week, I signed up. I was on it. I was signing up. But I had to, I'm in there, kind of. So I'm going to do this, right? I'm pretty sure. And here's how it looks in reality. You know, you sign up to be a small group leader for some kids. And you're there, and you're there, and you're there. But then it's like, oh, man. A friend of mine called me up. It's a great beach day. And the kids are like, where's he at this week? I don't know. He didn't show up. That's not what these kids need or deserve. They need somebody who's going to commit to them. We ask our small group leaders for the kids to commit to be there every week of the year. I remember when we first said that, people were like, what kind of crazed madman are you to ask a commitment like that? Like, you're right. You know, we should just go tell little Tommy, we're committed to you once a month when it's convenient. And we'll just pass you around, and, you know, you may or may not even know who I am when I show up next month, but that's okay. I'll see you a couple times. I might be on vacation and miss a few of mine, but I'll see you 4 or 5 times a year. No, we said we want somebody who's tracking with these kids week in and week out. And many of you have done that, and that's awesome because these kids know you. And what's really fun is I know the people who are doing this because it pays dividends for years down the road. Like, I'll be sitting at lunch with somebody, and somebody's name will come, like, oh, and they'll, like, know all the kids in the family. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. You were with them every single week for, like, some of them up to 2-3 years. And you know so much about, and you know so much about their private life, too, and the families. That's the side point, but. He's basically saying, listen, I'm giving my life for the cause. And you're half in and you're half out. Come back to me when you know. You know, one of our core values we're talking about this morning is be an owner, not a renter. Be an owner, not a renter. Jesus owned the value of sacrifice. It wasn't something he was just, you know, I'll buy into it for a little while, then I'll back out. He didn't get in the garden and face the temptation. Now some of y'all are thinking, well, wait a minute, he was wavering there. No. No. There was never any option other than him doing it. Never any option. He wasn't going to back out at the last minute. He was fully committed to this whole thing. And he's looking at you this morning and saying, how about you? Are you in? All eternity is at stake. Everybody spends eternity somewhere. What is it you're giving your life to that is so much more important than the call you're hearing from Jesus today? Let's pray. Jesus, we just to pause for a moment. It's pretty hard to look to you, picturing you on your way to the cross, and coming up with any reason or any excuse in light of all eternity, in light of what you've done. So, Father, may we listen to the conviction in our heart right now and do something, change something, commit to something. Father, forgive us, Father, for our sins. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.